You're listening to the Witness History Podcast from the BBC World Service with me, Vicky Farncombe. I'm taking you back more than 60 years to when the American psychologist Stanley Milgram began a series of obedience experiments at Yale University. In the controversial study, an authority figure ordered volunteers to deliver what they believed were dangerous electric shocks to another person. I'll be playing the original recordings of the experiments, and you may find the content disturbing.
Neil, you're going to get a shock. 180 volts.
This is a clip from Stanley Milgram's famous obedience to authority research.
The experiment requires that you continue teaching.
Well, but I'm not going to get that man sick in there.
Continue, please.
Professor Milgram died in 1984, but in 1975 he presented a special TV programme on the BBC where he described his research.
The problem I wanted to study was the issue of authority. Under what conditions would a person obey authority who commanded actions that went against conscience? These are exactly the questions that I wanted to investigate at Yale University.
The Milgram experiments began in 1961, the same year Nazi war criminal Adolf Eichmann, one of the major architects of the Holocaust, went on trial in Israel for war crimes. In his defence, Eichmann claimed he was not guilty because he was merely following the orders of his Nazi superiors. Professor Milgram, the son of Jewish immigrants, was fascinated by Eichmann's justification for what he did and the psychology of those involved in such genocide.
How is it possible, I ask myself, that ordinary people who are courteous and decent in everyday life can act callously, inhumanely, without any limitations of conscience?
He set about devising his tests. An advert was put in the local newspaper inviting people to take part in a study of learning and memory. This was a lie and part of why the experiments were later criticised. 40 men between the ages of 20 and 50 were recruited. Each were paid $4.50 to take part.
Now imagine you had answered the advertisement and are arriving at the university at the time arranged. First, you are greeted by a man in a grey technician's coat, and he introduces you to a second volunteer and says you are both about to take part in a scientific experiment. He says it's to test whether the use of punishment improves the ability to learn. You draw lots to see who is to be the teacher and who the learner.
This was more subterfuge. In fact, all the men who would answer the newspaper ad were going to take on the role of teacher. All the learners were actors who were in on the experiment. And the study had nothing whatsoever to do with whether punishment improves the ability to learn.
All right, now the next thing we'll have to do is set the learner up so that he can get some sort of punishment. So, learner, would you...
Now you see the learner strapped into a chair and electrodes are placed on his wrist. The experimenter says when he makes a mistake in the lesson, his punishment will be an electric shock.
And this electrode paste is to provide a good contact to avoid any blister or burn.
Now, as teacher, you are seated in front of this impressive-looking instrument, the shock generator.
The shock generator was like something from a horror film. A large machine with a horizontal line of 30 switches on it, marked from 15 volts to 450 volts. Besides each switch was a written explanation of how severe the shock would be, ranging from slight shock to XXX, danger, severe shock.
Your job, the experimenter explains to you, is to teach the learner a simple word pair test. You read a list of words to him like blue girl, nice day, fat neck, and he has to indicate by means of an answer box which words were originally paired together. If he gets each answer correctly, fine, you move on to the next pair. But if he makes a mistake, you are instructed to give him an electric shock, starting with 15 volts, and you increase the shock one step on each error. Now the question is, how far will you proceed on the generator before you turn to the experimenter and refuse to go any further?
Of course, none of this was real. The shock generator was a pretend machine, but the volunteers, or teachers in this experiment, didn't know this. Black and white footage shows how the experiment was set up. The learner was in one room with electrodes on. The teacher, in a separate room, operated the shock generator, whilst the experimenter, the authority figure in his lab coat, stood over him.
135, answer woman. N, white, cloud, horse, rock, house. Answer, wrong. 150 volts. Answer, horse.
Experimenter, that's all. Get me out of here. I told you I had heart trouble. My
heart's
starting to bother me now.
The actor playing the part of the learner made convincing screams every time he was shocked.
Let me out!
That guy's howling in there.
Continue, please. Go on.
There's a lot of them here. You know, you have a heart condition there. You want me to go?
Just continue, please.
It's interesting that although this man continuously objects to the experimenter, he continues to obey. So he's saying one thing, but his behavior is quite another thing. The two are not joined.
Sharp. Axe, needle, stick, blade. Answer, please. Wrong.
I'm up to 180 volts.
Please continue, teacher.
Now, this man is not enjoying what he's doing. He's going on, he's administering the shocks because of his relationship to the experimenter and not because of any pleasure he gets from his actions. This is a very important point because many people misinterpret the actions of the subjects. They say that they go on because they're aggressive or sadistic. This just isn't the case.
I mean, he's under hollering.
It's absolutely essential that you continue, teacher.
There's too many left here. I mean, geez, he gets wrong here. There's too many of them left. I mean, who's going to take the responsibility if anything happens to that gentleman?
I'm responsible for anything that happens here. Continue, please.
The man you can hear went on to deliver the maximum shock. At the end of the experiment, he was reunited with the learner and told the real reason for the experiment.
God bless you, boy. You have me shaking in here.
Nice to see you.
Hey, man.
Feel better now?
I sure as heck do.
That's true.
I thought you just about had it in there.
That's true.
The study found that of the 40 men who answered the initial ad, 26 went on to deliver the maximum shock.
There seem to be emotional factors that keep the person in his place. There's nothing more difficult for people to violate a social structure, which all participants have initially accepted. The subject feels awkward. He feels embarrassed in turning to the experimenter and saying, "I don't trust your judgment. I don't think you're competent." And so in the experiment, subjects continue to obey. The main thing, of course, is that the person does not see himself as responsible for his own actions. He sees himself rather as an agent executing the wishes of another person.
Professor Milgram concluded that understanding obedience to authority should not diminish our responsibility as citizens.
Rather, it confers on us a special obligation to place in positions of authority those most likely to use it wisely and humanely.
The Milgram experiment has been heavily criticised for breaking numerous ethical guidelines, as well as the fact that the participants were deceived and therefore did not give their full informed consent. Not enough care was taken to protect them from psychological harm. Many reported feeling exceptionally stressed during the experiment and guilty afterwards, but the experiment is still taught in schools today and is considered a groundbreaking contribution to the field of personality and social psychology. This episode of the Witness History Podcast was produced and presented by me, Vicky Farncombe, using archive from the BBC's 1975 Horizon programme. If you've liked this programme, please leave us a review, subscribe, tell your friends about it, or the usual podcast stuff. Thank you, goodbye.